Welcome to the deep dive. Today, well, you brought a really interesting one to our attention, this YouTube channel called Borzikman.
Right. Yeah. It popped up on our radar.
It's focused on military analysis, geopolitical commentary, especially, it seems, the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
That's the main angle, definitely.
So our mission here is to kind of unpack this channel. What perspective are they offering? What's the content actually like? And, you know, how might it be shaping understanding?
Exactly. What's the potential impact? We're basing this on an analysis we reviewed titled Analysis of the Borzikman YouTube Channel, Content Bias and Potential Disinformation.
Okay, great. So let's dive in. What's the first impression? How does Borzikman present itself?
Well, it positions itself as, you know, a platform for serious military analysis.
Yeah.
Geopolitical commentary.
Right.
With that heavy focus on Russia, Ukraine. We talk about military tech, history, current events, the whole package, supposedly.
And the video titles.
Yeah.
The research flags some of those. They're quite something.
Oh, absolutely. Very assertive language. Things like, no chance to escape. Russia deployed the world's most powerful and fastest annihilation system.
Wow. Okay. Or, payback time. Russian Akula-class submarines harshly punished NATO warships in the Baltic Sea. Quite dramatic.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
And there are others like Putin issued tough warning with deadly submarines off Germany or a NATO train blown to bits. It's consistently high-stakes language.
Definitely designed to grab your attention. And they post a lot, right? The frequency seems high.
Yeah, the channel's very active. Lots of content going up regularly.
And how do they describe themselves in their sort of about section?
They say it's created for truth seekers, with exclamation mark, offering exclusive analytical videos on Russia, the U.S., U.K., France, military hardware, past and present.
Truth seekers. Okay. And they position it as news you won't get elsewhere.
Exactly. News not on mainstream media services, as they put it. It's that narrative of being the alternative source for the real story.
Right. The we tell you what they don't want you to know kind of approach and the tagline.
The tagline is, be in touch with Borzikman and you will be always on the top of the hill.
Hmm. Very confident. Promising a kind of superior understanding. The research identified the channel's country as Russia.
Yes. Listed as Russia,
yeah.
But the specific person or group running it isn't stated in the analysis we saw.
Okay. So that's the presentation. Now, the analysis gets into the, let's say, the perspective. What about bias?
This is where it gets really clear. The analysis states there's a strong pro-Russian bias.
Yeah.
Especially concerning the Ukraine conflict.
Explicitly called out.
Yes. The Favicon analysis tool used in the research specifically noted a pro-Russian perspective. It's not subtle.
And you see that in the titles we just mentioned.
Absolutely. It's a consistent theme. Emphasizing Russian military successes, Russian capabilities, while NATO and the West are often portrayed negatively or, you know, as weak or failing.
So it feels less like neutral analysis and more like advocacy.
That's what the pattern suggests, yes.
Yeah.
A deliberate editorial stance seems to be shaping the information, what gets included, what gets highlighted, how it's framed.
Which could mean, what, maybe overstating Russian wins?
Potentially. Overemphasis on Russian achievements,
yeah.
Maybe exaggerating Ukrainian or Western setbacks, and possibly just leaving out information that contradicts their preferred narrative.
And that emotionally charged language in the titles feeds right into that bias.
Definitely reinforces it. It primes the viewer.
So claiming to offer truth outside the mainstream while having this clear pro-Russian slant, it does raise red flags about objectivity, doesn't it?
It certainly complicates that claim of being just about truth-seeking.
Okay, so let's look closer at the specific claims and narratives. What are the recurring themes?
Well, beyond the general pro-Russian angle, you see these recurring narratives in the titles. Russian military dominance is a big one.
Like that hypersonic missile title, World's Most Powerful.
Exactly. And the destruction of Western military gear, that NATO military train, blown to bits example, fits that perfectly.
Right, and the idea of NATO being weak or failing.
Yes. Titles like, West sounds the alarm. This brilliant move by Putin shocked the U.S. and brought NATO to its knees. Or, huge defeat for NATO. Russia officially declared the destruction of encircled NATO so. It paints a picture of NATO constantly being outmaneuvered or defeated.
So how do these claims stack up when compared to, say, more established or independent sources?
Well, that's the key point the analysis makes. When you compare these claims to information from reliable sources, fact-checking organizations, official reports, you often find significant discrepancies.
Like what, for example?
Things like the narrative around NATO expansion being inherently aggressive, or specific claims about NATO actions in the Baltic Sea often contradict the consensus among independent analysts and even official NATO statements.
So NATO might frame its Baltic presence as defensive, a response to Russia, but Borzikman presents it as aggression.
That seems to be the kind of framing suggested by the titles and the overall bias, yes. The claims often lack corroboration from independent, reliable sources.
Which suggests exaggeration, or maybe even making things up.
The analysis points towards exaggeration or potentially fabrication, given the lack of evidence for some of the more sensational claims in those titles. It serves the pro-Russian narrative they seem to be pushing.
Okay, this leads us naturally into thinking about disinformation and propaganda techniques. Does the analysis identify any specific tactics?
It does suggest a few possibilities based on the patterns observed. The sheer volume of videos, for instance, lots of content, often with similar, very assertive, alarming titles.
Right, hitting similar themes again and again.
Exactly. This resembles what some researchers call the fire hose of falsehood technique.
Fire hose of falsehood. Can you explain that a bit?
The basic idea is to overwhelm the audience with a high volume of messages, many of which may be false or misleading. It makes it hard for people to sift through, verify everything, or even know what to believe. The quantity itself becomes a persuasive tool.
Just flood the zone with your narrative. And you mentioned the emotional language earlier.
Yes, that's another potential technique highlighted. Using words like annihilation, harshly punished, deadly, insane madness, these aren't neutral descriptors.
No, they're designed to provoke a feeling. Fear, anger, maybe satisfaction, depending on your viewpoint.
Precisely. It's an appeal to emotion, which can sometimes bypass critical thinking. Get the gut reaction first.
Are there other techniques suggested? Maybe things like whataboutism?
The analysis suggests that within the video content itself, which we don't have fully analyzed here, mostly the titles and descriptions, things like whataboutism or creating false dichotomies could be likely, given strong bias, deflecting criticism by pointing fingers elsewhere.
And that claim of providing news the mainstream ignores, that fits a pattern too, doesn't it?
Yes, it aligns well with disinformation tactics. Framing your narrative as the suppressed truth that powerful forces don't want you to hear. It builds an us-versus-them mentality and encourages distrust of established sources.
So overall, the framing seems consistent with broader Russian propaganda themes we often hear about. Russia as the defender, NATO as the aggressor, the West is failing.
Exactly. Those themes appear to resonate strongly in the channel's presentation, based on the titles and self-description. The analysis included a table linking specific titles to potential biases and themes to these possible propaganda techniques.
Okay. Interesting. Now, what about the channel's footprint online? How is it seen or discussed elsewhere? Does it have much reach beyond YouTube?
The analysis found some mentions. It seems to have a presence on Twitter, found via a Yandex search.
Okay.
And it's been discussed on Reddit, specifically in a community called Arnon Credible Defense.
Ah, I know that one. Often quite critical of military claims. What did they say?
Well, Borzikman was referred to there as a Vatnik YouTuber.
Vatnik. That's a term you often see used online, sometimes pejoratively, for strong supporters of Russian nationalism, right? People seen as echoing pro-Kremlin lines.
That's generally the connotation, yes. So being labeled that way in that community suggests a perception of strong pro-Russian bias and potentially spreading propaganda.
Were there other mentions?
Yeah. There was also Reddit discussions specifically about the style, those sensationalized thumbnails being characteristic of Vatnik content. Like, the visual presentation itself is seen as part of the package.
So even the look and feel screams propaganda to some users.
To some, yes. And elsewhere, on Blusky, the channel was linked to content from an explicitly pro-Russian Substack. Again, reinforcing that association.
Any other platform?
A reference popped up on the Steam community platform calling something a Warzikman circle jerk.
That suggests a perception of an echo chamber, maybe, where only one viewpoint is really present or welcome.
That's the implication, yes. And a lack of diverse perspectives. So across these different online spaces, the picture is pretty consistent. Borzikman is widely viewed as a biased source with a strong pro-Russian slant.
Which definitely raises more questions about its credibility. Okay, let's switch gears slightly. How does a channel like this keep going? What about funding?
The analysis notes that Borzikman actively asks for money through Patreon.
Ah, direct audience support.
Yes. And relying on audience funding like that can potentially create an incentive. Well, if your supporters are, as the Favicon analysis suggested, primarily pro-Russian, you're likely incentivized to keep making content that appeals to them, that confirms their existing views.
So it becomes a feedback loop. The bias attracts supporters, and the supporters fund more biased content.
That's a potential dynamic, yes. It can reinforce and even amplify the channel's existing slant.
Was there anything else about funding? Cryptocurrency, maybe?
Interestingly, yes. A YouTube comment mentioned crypto donation addresses for another channel, the Duran, which also does geopolitical commentary appearing in relation to Borsigman content.
So maybe a shared audience or some kind of connection there. And alternative ways to get funds.
It suggests that possibility, yes. Shared audiences, shared support methods, and Borsigman also promises exclusive content for Patreon supporters.
Right. The classic tiered support model. Cater to your dedicated paying base.
Exactly. It's a strategy to cultivate and monetize that core, likely like-minded audience.
Okay. So let's try and pull all these threads together. What's the overall assessment from the analysis?
Well, summing it up, the research concludes that Borsigman shows a really strong and consistent pro-Russian bias. Especially, of course, regarding the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
Right, that seems undeniable based on everything we've discussed.
It uses those sensationalized titles, promotes narratives that, you know, frequently clash with reliable sources and fact-checking bodies.
And that self-description as a unique source of truth.
When combined with the clear bias and the questionable claims, raises pretty serious concerns about disinformation and potentially propaganda.
So the bottom line is, it's probably not where you should go for a balanced view.
Definitely not. The analysis labels it an unreliable source for the Russia-Ukraine conflict and related geopolitics. Viewers really need to exercise extreme caution.
Meaning what? Practically.
Critically evaluate everything. Cross-reference any claims you see there with independent, credible news sources, fact-checkers, established journalistic outlets. Don't take its assertions at face value.
And that Patreon funding angle adds another layer, suggesting the content might be tailored to keep those biased supporters happy.
Exactly. It reinforces the idea that the content might be shaped more by audience preference than by, say, objective reporting standards.
So to get an accurate picture, you really need to consult a wide range of reputable sources, not just rely on a single channel like this, especially one with such a clear slant.
Absolutely essential for a balanced perspective.
Okay. So just to recap the main takeaway here, this deep dive into the Borsigman YouTube channel, based on the analysis provided, really highlights a significant pro-Russian bias. That's clear.
Very clear.
And it uses these sensational claims, narratives, that often just don't line up with reliable reporting. It seriously raises questions about its potential role in, well, spreading disinformation.
That's the core concern, yes.
So for you listening, maybe think about how information hits you online. You know, those really eye-catching visuals, the headlines packed with emotional words.
Mm-hmm.
How do they influence how you react before you even click?
That's a great point. And what strategies do you use yourself? How do you check if a source is trustworthy? Especially with complex stuff like this conflict.
Maybe even check out some fact-checking organizations. See how they dissect claims from various sources, not just this one. It's quite revealing sometimes.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? About our own responsibility, maybe, as consumers of information online. How critical do we need to be?
Especially with something so major, with real-world consequences. So, a final thought to leave you with. We're swimming in information, right? It's everywhere. And because of that, being able to critically look at the source, spot potential bias, understand the angle, it's just more vital than ever. It's key to building a truly informed understanding of the world.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.